Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. All praise due to Allah, may Allah's peace and blessings be on the last messenger of Allah.
I'd just like to give you a brief introduction to Sheikh Ali Hassan.
He was, for a period of 18 years, a student of Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, as I mentioned earlier, one of the leading scholars of hadith of this century. And for the past 13 years, he himself has been involved in writing various commentaries on existing works, as well as individual books of his own authorship, and da'wah, as he is here in that process of da'wah, educating others. He has written, among the number of works that he has done, one particular work which is called Dirasat Ilmiya fi Sahih Muslim, which is a series of studies on Sahih Muslim. He has also done a book called Ilm Usul al-Bid'ah, which is the science of understanding the foundations of innovation, what causes innovation. Very, very valuable book, which scholars in various parts of the Muslim world have praised. Also, he did a book on Tasfiyah wa Tarbiyah. This is the purification of the individual and his proper education, you know, in order to prepare Muslims properly in communities today. He had circles of learning in which he taught fiqh and aqidah, as well as hadith, and he has studied, though he is not a graduate of the existing universities that we hear about, Islamic University or this and that, but he is from that level of scholars who never went to universities, like Sheikh Ibn Baz. They didn't go to university and study, you know, BA, MA and these things. Sheikh Nasir, same thing. They studied under the leading scholars of their time. They stayed with them until they gave them permission to teach what they learned. And he has studied under Sheikh Hamad al-Ansari, one of the leading muhaddithin, or scholars of hadith, you know, a contemporary of Sheikh Nasir, as well as Ata'ullah Hanif, and others of the great scholars of this, the latter part of this century. And with that, I will now turn over the microphone to Sheikh Ali.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد فقبل أن أبدأ بالكلمة التي أوكلت لي في هذه الليلة المباركة
Before I will begin with the actual topic which has been made my responsibility tonight, in this blessed night.
أود أن أذكر لكم جانبا من سعادتي التي شعرت بها في وجودي معكم مرة ثانية.
I'd like to mention to you an aspect of the happiness that I feel for being with you for a second time.
وإن كنت قد لا أجد كثيرا من الكلمات التي أستطيع من خلالها التعبير عما ذكرت لأن إخواني قد سبقوني في التعبير عنها بصورة شعرت من خلالها أنهم قد أتوا على ما أريد ذكره بشكل كبير إن شاء الله.
Even though I have great difficulty in finding words to express my feelings, especially considering that the brothers who came before me expressed much of what I wanted to express.
ثم أما بعد فموضوع هذه الكلمة هو إضاءات علمية حول قول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما.
My talk, as you can see in the form, is on speaking the good and straight word. It's based on reflections or Islamic insights into this particular verse which the Shaykh has quoted, in which Allah tells us to fear Allah and to speak righteousness.
ولن يكون بطبيعة الحال كلامي في هذا اللقاء كثيرا أو طويلا أو مسترسلا، فالوقت قصير، ولكنها إضاءات وظلال نلقيها مستفيدين من كلام علمائنا وأئمتنا لنعطي جانبا من الآية حقه إن شاء الله.
The time is short, so I'll not be able to say too much. However, I will bring for you what the well-known scholars have passed on to us with regards this verse.
فأول ما نستحضره في هذه الآية المباركة.
The first of what I'm able to recall with regards to this verse.
هو ابتداؤها بالخطاب للمؤمنين، يا أيها الذين آمنوا.
The verse begins with an address to the believers. O you who believe.
وهذا الخطاب للمؤمنين يتميز عن الخطاب القرآني للناس من وجوه عدة.
And this type of address is different from the other address that we find in the Quran, where Allah speaks to mankind in general. And it is different in a number of different ways.
أهم ذلك وأبينه وأظهره.
The most important and most obvious difference.
ما ثبت عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال.
What has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in which he said.
إذا سمعت الله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا فأرعه سمعك فإنه أمر أو خير يأمرك به أو شر ينهاك عنه.
If you hear Allah address, O you who believers, then give your full attention to it, because Allah is either commanding you to do some good or prohibiting you from doing some evil.
وهذه الآية الكريمة هي أكبر مثال على هذا التأصيل العلمي العظيم الذي ذكره الإمام الجليل عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه.
And this verse is a classical example of this point of clarification which was given by the great scholar among the Sahaba, عبد الله بن مسعود. May Allah be pleased with him.
لأن هذه الآية الكريمة قد حوت بين أو من خلال كلماتها عيون ما تحويه كلمة الإسلام و قواعد الإسلام وأصول الإسلام من حيث الخير المعطى للمسلم في حياته والخير الوارد له كأثر عما يعمله في حياته هذه.
Because this verse encompasses all of what a believer will find in his life, either through his actions or through what results from his actions. It addresses the good and identifies the evil of it all.
وقد يستغرب أو يشكل على بعض الأذهان الأمر بالتقوى مع الوصف بالإيمان. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله.
The combination of faith which Allah addresses the believers with, O you who believe, and Allah's command to fear Allah may seem strange to some of you.
فقد يقال كيف يوصى أو يؤمر هؤلاء بالإيمان أو بالتقوى وهم مؤمنون، والأصل في المؤمن أن يكون تقيا، أن يكون ورعا، أن يكون مصدقا، أن يكون قائما بالأعمال والإيمان الذي يطلبه الله تبارك وتعالى منه، فكيف يلتقي هذا الأمر مع ذلك الوصف.
Because it is obvious, or one could say, that a believer is supposed to fear Allah. I mean, this is what makes him or her a believer. They should be one who expresses all of the characteristics of those who fear Allah in terms of being truthful and honest, etc., etc. So how then would Allah address the believers and then tell them to believe? Because by saying fear Allah, he is saying to believe.
ولكن هذا الأمر بالتقوى إنما هو كما يقول العلماء أمر توكيد وليس أمر تأسيس.
Because this command, as the scholars of grammar and tafsir or commentaries on the Quran would say, this command is not one of establishing a point which is not already existing, but emphasizing a point which should exist.
فأمر التوكيد هذا إنما يراد منه تعميق الإيمان وتعظيم التقوى وجعل النفس كما يريد الله تبارك وتعالى. فالمؤمنون درجات وأهل التقوى درجات. فالله تبارك وتعالى عندما قال واتقوا الله إنما يريد من عباده أن يكونوا على خير ما يريده لهم من الإيمان والتقوى والعمل الصالح.
So when Allah commands the believers to fear Him, to be conscious of Him, He is emphasizing that this aspect of belief should be firmly established in the hearts, that we should increase our belief. Because belief has levels. There are different levels at which our faith exists. So Allah is telling us, strengthen that faith and increase your level.
وأما التقوى التي أمر الله بها عباده المؤمنين هؤلاء فهي كلمة ذات مدلول عظيم من حيث أثره في قلب الإنسان المسلم.
And this term taqwa, which is loosely translated as God consciousness or piety, which Allah is commanding us to make a part of our lives, it has a number of different implications in the life of the believers.
وأعظم ما يمكن أن نفسر به كلمة التقوى.
And the greatest thing that we could possibly explain
هو ما ورد
is what we can find reported by
عن التابعي الجليل طلق بن حبيب رحمه الله أنه قال
from the student of the companion طلق, may God's mercy be upon him,
التقوى عمل بطاعة الله.
تقوى is acting in accordance with obedience to Allah.
على نور من الله ابتغاء مرضات الله.
Following light from Allah for the pleasure of Allah.
وانتهاء عن معصية الله. And على نور من الله ابتغاء مرضات الله.
And giving up the disobedience to Allah according to light, guidance from Allah, and seeking the pleasure of Allah.
فهي كلمة إذن تجمع الخير من أبوابه.
So it's a word which gathers together all that is good within its confines.
وترشد المسلم والمؤمن
and it guides the believing man and woman to
أعظم ما يرضي به ربه تبارك وتعالى ويستقيم به على صراطه المستقيم الذي يدعو ربه ليل نهار في كل يوم بضع عشرة مرة قائلا اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
It guides the believing man and woman to a state which we beg Allah for day and night in all of our prayers. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Show us the straight path.
وأما قوله تبارك وتعالى وقولوا قولا سديدا.
As for Allah's statement that we should say a correct word.
فهو إشارة إلى إصلاح القول واللسان.
It is an indicator or a suggestion that we should reform our speech and our tongue. Well, it's the same thing. Our speech. That whatever comes out of our mouths, we should make it right.
ولا يتكلم المسلم إلا بالحق وللحق ومن أجل الحق سبحانه وتعالى.
That the believer should only speak the truth for the sake of the truth, for the one who is the embodiment of truth, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said.
من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت.
Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, either speak good or be quiet.
فالقول السديد من معانيه الدعوة إلى الله.
The meaning of that straightforward or good word which Allah has commanded us to say is, among its meanings, is calling or inviting people to Allah.
ومن أعظم الدعوة إلى الله الدعوة إلى التوحيد وتعليم الناس دين الله تبارك وتعالى والسنة وما يتبع ذلك من أوامر وأحكام تنفعهم في دنياهم وتنجيهم عند ربهم تبارك وتعالى.
And amongst the highest or most important issues for which we may invite people is to the oneness of Allah, to maintaining the unity of Allah in our concepts as well as our actions, and to obey the commandments of Allah in terms of the pillars of Islam and the various commandments and prohibitions, and to apply these commands of God within our lives.
ومن القول السديد الصدق في القول والإصلاح بين الناس والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
And amongst the things that are classified as the good word is speaking the truth and reforming or making up for mistakes which occur between people, bringing them together rather than saying things which will make them further apart.
والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول لا يزال الرجل يصدق ويتحرى الصدق حتى يكتب عند الله صديقا.
That a person will not speak the truth and only seek the truth, he will not continue to do that as long as he continues to do that, Allah will eventually write him among those who are صديق, that is those who are truthful, constantly truthful.
وعكس القول السديد وضده.
And the opposite of this good word or this straightforward word is
هو القول بالباطل.
That is the statement of falsehood.
وقول الزور.
And the statement which we call forgery, that which is forged.
والكذب.
And lies.
الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول أيضا تتمة للحديث السابق ولا يزال الرجل يكذب ويتحرى الكذب حتى يكتب عند الله كذابا.
And a person, in completion to that hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was mentioned earlier, who tells lies and prefers lies, constantly following the lies, he will continue to do that until Allah writes him or records him among the constant liars, كذاب.
وتأملوا أيها الإخوة في الله الآية الكريمة التي وصفت القول الزور أو وضعت القول الزور بجانب الشرك بالله, وذلك قوله سبحانه وتعالى فاجتنبوا الرجس من الأوثان واجتنبوا قول الزور.
We should reflect on the verse in which Allah links the falsehood with shirk, in which Allah said, avoid, we should avoid the filth which comes from idolatry and avoid falsehood. He's linked the two together.
لذلك كان نبي الإسلام عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم يحض أصحابه دائما على ألا يقولوا إلا خيرا وألا يتكلموا إلا بالخير، بل قد جعل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حفظ الإنسان للسانه سببا من أسباب دخول الجنة، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام
The Prophet ﷺ encouraged his companions to speak that which was good and always favor the good over the evil. Constantly he was telling them to do this, and in a particular hadith which illustrates this command of the Prophet ﷺ, he said,
من يحفظ لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة.
He said that whoever will guarantee me what is between his two beards, actually what it means really, what is between his lips, meaning his mouth, his tongue, what comes out of his mouth. Whoever will guarantee that, meaning that guarantee that they only speak that which is good, and guarantee what is between his legs, meaning he is not involved in any kind of form of fornication or adultery or these type of things, then Allah has guaranteed that one paradise.
وَلَقَدْ تَلَقَّى عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَصْحَابُهُ هَذَا الْحُكْمَ وَهَذَا التَّوْجِيهَ أَعْظَمَ تَلَقٍ.
And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ accepted this from the Prophet ﷺ, on the greatest possible levels. They became examples of what he commanded them to.
فَهَهُوَ مُعَاذٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ يستشكل هذا الأثر الكبير للسان قائلا يا رسول الله أو إنا مؤاخذون بما تتكلم بها ألسنتنا. فقال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام سكلتك أمك يا معاذ، وهل يكب الناس في النار على وجوههم أو على مناخرهم إلا حصائد ألسنتهم.
And Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he heard the Prophet ﷺ say this, he asked, are people going to be thrown in hell because of what they have said? And the Prophet ﷺ said that is it other than what people have said which will cause them to be thrown into hell on their faces?
وتأملوا أيها الإخوة هذا التوجيه الذي ورد عن أبي بكر الصديق صديق هذه الأمة رضي الله تعالى عنه، حيث رآه بعض الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم ممسكا بلسانه فقال له ماذا تفعل يا أبا بكر؟ فقال رضي الله تعالى عنه محذرا وموجها ومنبها لقد أوردني هذا الموارد، أي لقد أوقعني في المهالك، وهو من هو في الصدق والأمانة والحق والقول السديد، لكنه إنما فعل ذلك حماية للأمة وصيانة لها عن أن تقع بما يخالف القول السديد مما يوقعها في الزور وقول الزور والكذب والبهت وغير ذلك من علامات الشر عياذا بالله.
And another example of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking this advice to heart is that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is known as As-Siddiq, as the truthful one. He's given that title by Prophet Muhammad ﷺ himself. On one occasion he held on to his tongue. He held his tongue. And the other companions saw him doing it and were wondering, what in the world are you doing? Abu Bakr, why are you doing this? He said that this tongue of mine, you know, has put me into a variety of positions where I could destroy myself. You know, this was like an example to the rest of the ummah, that they have to be careful. Abu Bakr, who was the closest of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, yet he still had this feeling of the dangers of the tongue, that he would do this, you know, to making a fool sort of himself in front of everybody else, you know, because he knows that that tongue can make a fool of us before Allah on the Day of Judgment.
هذه أيها الإخوة بعض معالم القول السديد، وهذا شيء من معانيه، فمقل منا منه أو مستكثر، فمستكثر ينال من الله جزاءه عملا صالحا وأثرا حميدا أو مستقل، فينال من ذلك الوعيد الشديد والأثر غير السديد جزاء وفاقا لما تفوه به بلسانه وأوبقته به أعماله.
And this advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the truth, speaking the truth, which was emphasized by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is part of the guidance which will provide for us the path to paradise. It is something which a Muslim, a believer, man or woman, should always reflect on and try to apply. It is among the greatest characteristics of faith, sidq, truthfulness in all respects.
وبعد الطلب وبعد الأمر جاء الجواب. بعد أن قال الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا جاء الجواب وظهرت الثمرة وأينعت النبتة حتى تكون عملا صالحا وأثرا حميدا ينعكس على من قام بهذا الأمر حق القيام وعلى من فعله على خير ما أمره به ربه تبارك وتعالى.
And after this initial command to the believers to fear Allah, Allah now gives the fruit of fearing Allah. This command, like all commands in the Quran, is intended to create something, to provide for us something, guidance, change in our lives. Here comes the answer.
فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى يصلح لكم أعمالكم.
Allah says, this statement will make your deeds right.
ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم.
And it will cause your sins to be forgiven.
ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما.
And whoever has obeyed Allah and His Messenger has succeeded in the greatest way.
والمتأمل أيها الإخوة في الله لهذا الجواب يرى أنه قد جمع خير الدنيا وخير الآخرة.
Anyone who reflects, any believer who reflects on this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will obviously see that it has combined the best of what is in this life and the best of what is in the life to come.
فماذا يرجو المسلم في دنياه أكثر من أن يصلح الله عمله؟
What does a believer seek more in this life than that Allah would make his actions, his deeds good?
وأن يغفر ربنا له ذنبه.
And that Allah would forgive us our sins.
أما الدنيا وأما المال وأما المتاع وأما الجاه فهذا كله مما يكون في تفكير المؤمن في تفكير المسلم أمرا ثانويا في الدرجة لا أقول الثانية وإنما في العاشرة، وهو في تفكيره هذا أيضا إنما يريد بذلك نشر دين الله ونشر دعوة الحق كما يريد الله تبارك وتعالى.
As to the things of this life, whether it be wealth or position, power, these are secondary. Not only secondary, but they are like tenth on his list, the list of the believer, that he or she would use these things to make the word of Allah utmost in this world, in their lives.
وتأملوا ما ورد في السنة لما رأى عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه نبي الإسلام محمدا عليه الصلاة والسلام في حالة من الفقر والضعف في أول عهد الإسلام، فقال له يا رسول الله ماذا عن هذا الحال، وشكى له حاله، فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قال له يا عمر أما ترضى أن تكون لكم الدنيا أو لهم الدنيا ولكم الآخرة؟ أما ترضى أن تكون لهم أي للكفار الدنيا ولكم الآخرة؟ فلذلك قال عليه الصلاة والسلام الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر.
Umar radiallahu anhu, in the early stages of Islam in Mecca, when he observed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu in the difficulty that he was living, him along with all the Muslims, the trials that they were faced with, he complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu saying, what is this? What is this situation of us? You know, we who are following the truth, that we are in this state of deprivation. The Prophet Muhammad said to him, aren't you pleased? Or isn't it pleasing to you that they will have this life and we will have the next? And because of that, he also said in this same regard that this life is a prison for the believer and it is paradise for the disbeliever.
فلولا صلاح العمل ومغفرة الذنب لعاش الإنسان بعيدا عن مرضات الله كالحيوان البهيم عياذا بالله لا يدري لماذا خلق ولا يدري ماذا يفعل ولا يدري ماذا يفعل به بينما الإنسان المؤمن يعلم أنه ما خلق إلا لعبادة الله كما قال الله جل في علاه وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين.
The believer is distinguished from the disbeliever in the sense that when Allah makes their deeds good and forgives them, He has given them the greatest thing that one could seek in this life. It distinguishes them from the disbelievers whose deeds are evil and there is no forgiveness for them. And it makes them worse even than the animals. They don't know what is good and what is evil. They are destroying themselves. Whereas Allah, by purifying our deeds, by forgiving our sins, He has given us a great source of guidance where we know what is this life about, what is the purpose of our creation, where are we headed.
فَطَاعَةُ اللَّهِ أو عفواً فصلاح العمل ومغفرة الذنب هي سبب وأثر من آثار طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى التي يكون من خلالها الفوز العظيم كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى في آخر الآية ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. فهذا إذن أعني الأثر الوارد عن التقوى والقول السديد أثر في الدنيا بصلاح العمل ومغفرة الذنب وأثر في الآخرة بطاعة الله المترتب عليها الفوز العظيم وجنة النعيم والبعد عن النيران والجحيم عياذا بالله تبارك وتعالى.
So the purification of deeds, making deeds good, and the forgiveness from Allah provides for us the best that we can get out of this life. And Allah closes the verse by saying that those whose deeds have been purified and forgiveness has been granted to them, they have succeeded in the greatest possible way. So the purification and the forgiveness gives us the best in this life as well as the success in the next life, which is paradise. And to be distant from the hellfire.
فهذه أيها الإخوة في الله سورة المؤمن الطائع لله المعبد نفسه لأوامر الله والمستجيب لسنة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. ويقابلها تلك الصورة القاتمة، الصورة المظلمة، الصورة السوداء التي هي صورة المعرضين، صورة الجاهلين البعيدين التائهين الذين يجابهون ويواجهون بنقيض ما فعلوا وبعكس ما أرادوا، حيث يجازيهم ربهم جزاء وفاقا. فقال سبحانه وتعالى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال رب لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. فتأملوا أيها الأخوة الأحبة هذه الصورة وتلك الصورة، هذه الصورة بذلك الخسران المبين وتلك الصورة
بالفوز العظيم واختاروا طريقا لكم لتكونوا شهداء على الناس كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. أقول قولي هذا وأدعو الله لي ولكم بالثبات والثواب وحسن الختام، إنه سميع مجيب، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
So dear brothers, as the Sheikh is closing, he is asking us to reflect on this picture, the picture of the believer whose deeds have been purified, have been made good. Whatever he has done, Allah has taken from it good and rewarded him for. He has gained the forgiveness of Allah, and he has gained with it paradise. This is the goal which we as believers should all seek. Opposite to that is the picture of the disbeliever, the one who turns away from Allah, who disobeys Allah, whom Allah describes in the Quran as those who turn away from the remembrance of Allah will live wretched lives, and they will be raised on the day of judgment blind. And they will ask Allah, "Why did you raise me blind?" And Allah will say, "Because you forgot me in this life, and now you are forgotten." So we as believers need to take this picture to heart, this picture of purification of deeds and righteousness that we all need to make this life successful for us and to make the next successful. That we need to speak what is truthful. This is what we are lacking. This is what is hurting us today, because much of what is spoken is not the truth. Much of the division that we are living today, even though we all say we're following the same path, we all want to please Allah, yet we are divided amongst ourselves. Why? Because we're not speaking the truth. We prefer to pass on rumors, what this one said and what that one said. So our deeds are not purified. We're not getting the forgiveness that we seek. And we will fail in this life and in the next. Allah has described us as being that middle nation, ummatan wasata, the middle nation who stand as witnesses to the word of Allah before the rest of mankind. These are those who will attain paradise, those who speak the truth throughout their lives.